Okay, good. Because, you know, we say all this funny shit and it's not on record. And like, pics of it didn't happen. Like,
yeah. How are funny, my friends just need to know our friendship won't end. My buddy. Hello and welcome to Girls Who Came to Sugar Bakers, where nerds and platonic life partners Erin and Leslie watch episodes of Designing Women, then recap, review, and share other fun things related to the show. I'm Leslie.
And I'm Erin.
What's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Safe for any of our... It won't come out now, but we're in fire season and people might be like, Erin's in LA and is she on fire? No, I'm not.
Nope, Erin is not on fire. That makes me happy.
I mean, there's always potential that I can be... Oh, God, can you imagine all five of this household evacuating? And
that's a lot.
Yeah. Unfortunately, my roommate's a truck doesn't work right now, but that's what we would do probably, is all just pile in and go. And there are people I know who are evacuating, and it just happens this time of year. It's when I heard on the radio it's 65% contained. So, but I mean, you guys won't hear this right away because that's how we work. So this will be in the future. If we're still recording, if there's still episodes, then you'll know I continue to be okay.
That's right. That's how you know.
Gosh, what a mess. What do we do first? We do holiday? Yeah, we do.
Holidays. What are the holidays today?
Yeah. Today is Veterans Day. I also just like the number 1111. So we've got that going on today. So please honor not only the past veterans, but current, because that's a crime in our country of how much we don't respect people when they come back from combat or when they finish their service. So please take a moment to think about what people do for us. And the other one, and because we don't celebrate real holidays on this podcast, we celebrate the absolutely absurd holidays, such as National Sunday Day.
What, like A-E?
Yeah.
A-Y?
A-E. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yet another ice cream day.
More ice cream.
Leslie. Another ice cream day.
Because we need all of them. We need so many.
They even admit within the little blurb on the National Day calendar that there is July. Oh, I just wiggled my. Okay, good. I just wiggled my cord for my, for the microphone. I just wiggled, for the microphone, but it's still going. I was worried that I jacked it up. Oh, man. We should try to post that video.
I'll try to find it.
They note on National Day calendar that July 25th is National Hot Fudge Sunday Day, and July 7th is National Strawberry Sunday Day. So they're like, we know we're stupid. I mean, they're not stupid.
There
they didn't come up with
them. There are already Sunday days.
We know that this nation is absolutely stupid. And the history. Oh, have we celebrated this before? I think we have.
Or are we just getting it mixed up with the 800 other ice cream days?
I know.
In the 365 days per year.
Because, like, the history, I'm like, oh, this sounds familiar.
all of this has happened before, and all of this will happen again.
I actually like it. So apologies if it is familiar and we've already talked about it, but I find this a little bit fascinating, this little history blurb. So can I read it, or is that stupid?
Will you
stop me if you're like, this has obviously been done before, please stop.
Oh,
you're
I won't
kill
remember.
Our listeners. Oh crap,
you go right ahead.
But
I
you
don't
have the better brain than me. Okay.
There are too many silly holidays. I don't remember.
Somebody is gonna tweet us and be like, y'all,
they got the receipts.
No, but really, especially because like us. We have like some new they do have the receipts, because we have like some newer listeners that are like letting us know about ourselves. I think actually we have amazing listeners who are just totally engaging and wonderful and aren't really letting us know about ourselves.
You are the best.
I think that everyone's great, but I feel like we have a a listenership that will let us know that we just did this. Like,
no, I appreciate it. I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad of it.
Not in a bad way at all. I don't mind at all. I love everyone that listens to us. So the history within our research, we were unable to find the creator of National Sunday Day.
Because y'all just made it up right now.
I know. They're so silly. The oldest, but actually I think it's just on the 11th. I don't think it's necessarily a Sunday. Just today happens to be a Sunday. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I like that. And Haven has started coming in. Why? He was asleep. Oh, it's because I get animated. He was asleep.
Ah, Sunny is up.
Yeah.
She's not allowed to be
See?
Out tonight.
That's the, that's the thing. Wait, she's not allowed to what?
She's been messing with the Christmas tree and we can't stop recording every 2 seconds for me to go make her stop. So she had to go up.
What is she doing?
She's trying to knock the ornaments off. I don't really have anything towards the bottom, but she's trying to knock them off anyway and like chewing on the branches. And it's not real. So it's not like that's not good for her and like pulling them down.
It's because it's not metallic. It's electric. Wait, I thought it was Bex that
likes
it.
It's not on. She just likes it.
Who?
She just wants to play with
hey,
it.
Hey, she probably likes the way it feels on her teeth. You should get some of those little balls that are, I'll send her some. They're balls that are made of like the same thing, kind of. And like that, well, not really, but like a little bit, and that are really light too. And she can like chase them around. I'll forget, but I'll try to find them on Amazon during the recording and see if I can send it to her. She'll love it.
She'll love it.
She'll love it. She's just such a funny little. I'm going to type in cat balls into Amazon real quick so that I am just so that I don't forget to do that. That's what I literally did. I pulled up my Amazon app and I typed in cat balls so that it's like
cat
a little
balls.
Note to self. I'm glad I didn't do that in a Google image search because that would be scary.
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
No. Anyway, so I'm going to keep reading the history. The oldest known record of an ice cream sundae is an advertisement in the Ithaca Daily Journal dated October 5th, 1892, with the conventional day of the week spelling Sunday. Oh, like so it was spelled like the day of the week, not with the A-E. Why'd they change it? Oh, they doesn't say that. It has been hotly debated. Hotly. Because
I mean,
it's
when I
ice
think
cream
of
and also
subjects.
Yeah. Yeah. You think of we don't even
we don't know who came up with it. We don't know who changed it. We don't know why, but it's hotly debated.
Committees. And also, I really love hotly because it's ice cream. so stupid. I bet they didn't do that on purpose. Okay. It's been hotly debated where the sundae originated. There has been a friendly... This is why some people hate our show. We're just sitting there talking about stupid shit. And they're like... I don't think people hate our show. But I'm saying this would be why. And they're like, why the fuck are we talking about Sundays right now? Oh, F-bomb. Sorry. Okay. There has been a friendly rivalry, blah, 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 blah. No one cares about any of this. Okay, except for the fact... Wait, hold on, Leslie. There's been a rivalry that we should read about.
What?
It's stupid. It's between Ithaca, New York, and Two Rivers, Wisconsin, because they both say that they're the birthplace. A bit like, what is it? Oh. Like, Michigan also says... Because they're, like, the birthplace of the Wright brothers. I don't know if it's Michigan. It's probably, like, Illinois or something. And... It's probably like Denver. I'm naming states and cities. Nobody knows. North Dakota. They attest, the first in flight thing. Like there's another license plate that has first in flight because that's where the Wright brothers were from. Even though they actually flew at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. So people are stupid. Okay, so this is between Wisconsin and Ithaca. The Two Rivers claim is that in 1881, druggist Edward Berners served the sweet concoction when customer George Hollier, I don't know if that's how you say it, ordered an ice cream soda. Oh, but see, this is why I think this is familiar, because we've heard about root beer floats on here. Because it was the Sabbath, ice cream sodas were prohibited at the time. What? Because it was the Sabbath. Ice cream sodas.
Was that when cocaine was still in Coke?
I know. I'm wondering. I gotta look that up. Is it the ice cream or is it the soda that's causing the problems? I don't know. Or just frivolity in general on the Sabbath. Who knows? I mean, I have some Thai tea in the fridge right now. I'm pretty excited. Mm. As a compromise, Berners served the ice cream in a dish without soda. Okay, so that's the soda is the problem. Without soda and topped it with chocolate syrup. This story is disputed by some because Berners would have only been 18 at the time the story takes place. What, an 18-year-old can't put ice cream in a cup?
When I think about conspiracy theories that I love to argue,
this is great.
This is what comes to mind.
This is great. This is amazing. Wait, you have conspiracy theories you love to argue?
Oh, no, I just like conspiracy theories. I know. They're talking about being hotly contested and like arguing that he was 18.
Good point. It's just because you're secretly our Mulder. In Ithaca.
That's me.
Yeah, I know. On a Sunday after church in 1892, again on a Sunday. I guess that's why they got the name Sunday, because it was on Sundays and Sabbath and all that. Chester Platt, proprietor of Platt and Colt Pharmacy, so another pharmacy dude, and the Reverend John M. Scott, Reverend. I know, stopped at the pharmacy to enjoy a bowl of ice cream. I love this idea of people just like, we got to have some ice cream on a Sunday. It's so cute. Why I mentioned the Thai tea thing, because actually I do have like some frozen bananas in there and Thai tea, and like I've decided I'm going to make a Thai tea kind of milkshake. Sometimes I just blend up frozen bananas because it's amazing. And I'll put some Thai tea in there and it's going to be great. So that's how I'm going to celebrate delicious. This ice that's cream Sunday day. I don't have any other way of doing it. Actually, I do have some ice cream sandwiches. So, well, this is going to be all over the place episode. Sorry, everyone. Instead of just, okay, so the Reverend and the proprietor dude are having some ice cream. Instead of just plain vanilla, Platt topped the scoops with cherry syrup and a candied cherry. The dessert looked and tasted so delightful. It required its own name. It was named for the day it was created. Yeah, duh. Ithaca also has some historical evidence supporting this, including the advertisements for a cherry sundae. That sounds really good. I love cherry things like cherry Coke. When they make it cherry Coke like proper and they give you like a cherry in there, and I'm like, ooh, get out of here. Yeah, I know you love it too. That's like, it's such a, it's so, it's almost like decadent if you don't, because no one drinks cherry Coke like on the regs, right? I mean, some people maybe do, but and then you have it and you're like, whoa, it's like Coke Plus, you know. It was like the day that I was like a little kid and I didn't just have regular Cheerios, I had Honey Nut Cheerios, and I was like, oh, what is going on? Fancy. This can be actually good. I didn't know that. Although Coke is good and cherry Coke is just exciting to have a little bit extra flavor in there. So that's National Sunday Day. Do you have ice cream, Leslie? You're going to eat some ice cream now, since it's yet another.
I don't think I have any.
Also, it's like 18 degrees in North Carolina.
Cold.
I mean,
it's pretty cold. I don't think I have any. That's all right.
That's all right. You
I'll
probably
eat something
don't need
that's
it.
Not cold.
I know. I guess you don't want it. You probably don't want it. I mean, I made tea when I got home, and it's actually cold now. It was like, it was warm. I mean, it's fine. I just, whatever. Did you have a sugar baker moment?
I don't, but I do have a sugar baker shout out.
Awesome.
To this book that I devoured in like 2 days or under.
Way of being lately, though.
I know. I didn't skim this one either. Like, there are some of them I get halfway through and I like speed read. Not that I can speed read, but like I call it speed reading. It's like mostly just skimming it. Mm-hmm. This one I did not do that with. It's called Saul Kill Girls by Claire Grand. And shout out to her for completely wrecking me in the best possible way. Like, it's got so many things. It's like horror. It's YA. So if you don't like YA, still read it because it's more, it's like older YA because it's dark. It gets really dark. And it's horror and it's fantasy and it's about like girls coming together to like rise up against like this oppression that they have been in for goodness knows how long. And there is an asexual character. There are queer girls. There is a dude who is like the most decent teenage dude on the planet. And I love him.
Please show off more of that. Because they do exist.
He's so
great. And we need to celebrate them.
And I love him. And I just want to hug him. But yeah, it's super cool. The premise is like this new girl moves to town. And as soon as like day one, she starts having like these debilitating like migraines, and she can hear like she calls it like a bone call or a bone scream, like the scream that's so like it rattles her bones.
Yeah.
And then there's a girl. Also, one of the main characters is black. She is not white. So hey, trying to get that.
They
actually in there.
It's not exclusively, but they explicitly say that.
Yeah, yeah. Like they, I love it. That is yeah. So and she has lost her friend. Like this town has lost like a whole bunch of girls over the last however many. Like the written record only goes back a couple centuries, but like girls be disappearing.
Okay.
And she lost her best friend, and she is convinced that this other girl who's like, you know, like queen bitch of the high school has something to do with it. She doesn't know how, but she's convinced she does. And so it's Zoe, who is the girl who lost her friend, and Val, who's the queen bitch, and Marion, who just moved to town. And then like as it goes along, their story becomes more entwined as they find out what's going on, and then hopefully have to, you know, like fight and be heroes and like fix it. It's good.
I actually really, that sounds really good.
Yeah, girl power.
And I like the
99, but
99,
yeah, girl power, Spice Girls.
Oh, because of Spice Girls. I was like, it's always time for girl power. Well, I guess we should say
the specific phrase,
women power or something like that.
Yeah,
feminism. I love it. Yeah. I actually really liked to shout out your, do you mind if I shout out your book Instagram? Because I really liked the pictures that you did.
Sure.
Of,
thanks.
To show that book too. Wasn't one of them on the bench?
Yes, it was that one. We so went last
good.
Weekend.
Last I loved weekend, it.
I went with a friend. She's like casually house hunting. And so we went to this house that's like definitely
that's
probably
where the bench
haunted.
Was?
And there was this, it was a swing, like, in the back, and it was dilapidated, and the boards were falling off of it. And so, like, I took the book, because it was kind of creepy at first, like, when I first started it. So I took it to this probably haunted house and took a picture there.
That's amazing. I didn't recognize it was a swing. I just saw wood. That is even better, because I love the idea of it, like, maybe you're, like, in your house, and you just hear the haunted house, and you hear the swing. Just like starts squeakily moving.
Starts
and then,
moving.
And then it stops.
Yes.
That makes it extra creepy. I love it. Wow. That's great. And yeah, maybe you should put your Instagram handle in the show notes or something so people could check
it
out.
I will put a link to it.
Because you have really good reviews, and you're pretty avid reader would be the term.
Yeah.
Because of you say speed reading, but I don't know, I think you just are a really quick reader. Like I it takes me about 5 years to read one book, so I mean I can read a book in a day or two if I get to just sit down and do it, if it's a stupid one,
if you have the time.
Yeah. But I also don't take the time because my brain doesn't work enough to do it. I can ingest series worth of shows recently because you just let it keep playing.
That's right. And they like right before we were podcasting, I was watching Alyssa's new show. I'll put a link to that also.
Yeah.
And like it, every episode, like it's designed for you to just keep going.
Just keep going.
They're like, and then it's like, do you want to watch the next one? And I was like, I can't. Yes. We got 20 minutes. I can't, and you need to stop.
You could have started one. I've done that shit before where I've been like, I have to be somewhere else or leave or do something. I'm like, well, I'll start one. I'll start something.
Yeah. Just start it.
Did
you have a sugar baker moment this week?
Yeah. This, today. I don't know what I was gonna say.
Today
I went to my first meeting of friends, which are also known as Quakers. I like how we call each other friends.
That's cool.
Known as Quakers. I think that's about the only other names people would know, and that is in my area. Because it has been encouraged in me to find I moved out here and I've made some friends and I know some people, but it's never a bad thing to have a community. And also because of my job, I need to have like religious support. And also I have to, for certification, have a religious body decide that, hey, yes, they endorse me for chaplaincy. So all these reasons mean that I had to kind of do a certain amount of church shopping, not just like a physical church, but like actual like religion because of me. I think it's come up a few times already in the show that I started this journey. Like, I'm not going to be any religion. I don't want to. And I'll just be for all the people who aren't religious. I can still be for all the people who aren't religious, but because of the type of work I do, I need to have myself some kind of grounding, you know, some kind of root. So I've been working on that for the past year or so. And I'm not open enough and receptive enough when my supervisor, who has tried to do, who's tried to lead me a few different ways and has always tried to lead me to, she just keeps saying that she thinks that Christianity is going to call me because it's the majority of people who are practicing in U.S. do identify as Christian, which I include Catholicism in that, not just Protestant Christians, which I hate saying because I'm like, no, there's so many others, but like, no, it's true. It's true that that's the majority, and it's kind of a bit in our culture as well as some of the ways that society works. So that's what she was saying, and I was always like, meh, no, meh. But then maybe a couple of months ago, she was like, have you ever like read about the Quaker beliefs and how they do things? Because I'm really against, I don't like places that religious bodies that will not ordain women, or who are anti-feminist or anti-anything really, as far as peoples, I guess. Or because also there's like anti-LGBT and all that kind of stuff, you know, all these things. So she was like, how about the Quakers? And I was like, no. But then I noticed it wasn't a straight no for me. And so I actually did search research and recognized that there's a lot there about that I can get down with, that I just didn't know, honestly. And as I kept going, some of the things I was reading, I was like, oh, these are some of the things I actually always believed, but just didn't. I mean, I don't know how many Quakers were in Raleigh, North Carolina. I definitely didn't meet any. So I just wasn't aware, you know, of this potential path for me. And then today was the day that I had enough energy on a Sunday to go to the Friends meeting. And it was absolutely amazing. I felt, you know, how I was telling my roommate, because he came back from his own gathering soon after I did. You know, a lot of churches will say, like, all are welcome, like, even on their sign for their, like, door, you know? But I felt it, actually really felt, and I usually feel it when I go places, but I quite felt it today there with them, partially because, like I said, I was more receptive. I was hurt, I think, by being raised in the Bible Belt, not by anyone particularly. In fact, some of my favorite people that are still in touch with me from when I was little, I mean, like 5-6 years old, are from the church that I was raised in and the preschool that I went, or kindergarten preschool that I went when I was a little kid. So it's not that anyone in particular was told me that I was wrong necessarily. It was just a bit of the culture was quite judgmental and Bible thumping and all that kind of stuff. But again, like I said, there's some really wonderful people from that time period that are very Christian and very open and loving. And I think walking the walk that Jesus would encourage his followers to do. So anyway, that's this is a whole thing. I'm trying not to piss off anyone / be honest, you know, it's difficult. So that was definitely a Sugar Baker moment for me to be honest with the people that I met today about the path that I've been on and feel genuinely like they're like, that's cool. And I think one thing about it is that within the belief system, there is really an inherent respect of the divine in everyone, whether it be not even, it might not even be divine. But so for some people, it is God with is seen within in everyone. Some people it's divinity. Some people it's humanity, like whatever the word, but it's a way of like respecting, people as like a whole. and kind of working out of love and mutual respect and that type of thing. And there, in fact, are like atheist Quakers and that type, and like they're like Buddhist Quakers and they're pagan Quakers and that type of thing, because of that inherent respect of what's in everyone. They believe that you can also, that this can also be expressed through different ways too. So I was really excited by what I experienced. That's awesome. Today. And the really interesting thing for people who don't know is that, and I don't know if all friends meeting work this way. I have a feeling that some of them don't, but because of the belief that there is this like light within everyone, and that there isn't a hierarchy in Quakerism. There's just like a clerk, basically, is what they call it, is someone who will like start and finish the meeting. The meeting that is of worship. And also they will help lead when there are like business meetings of the community of their type of thing. But it's not that they're in charge necessarily. It's just because you have to have someone... Right. Like keep track of time and that type of thing, you know. And what happens is for this meeting, we just sit in silence for an hour, and if people are moved to sing or talk or share something, then they stand up and do so. And I know, and that's it. And then something that this particular friends meeting does is also they save time at the end for people to share their personal struggles or triumphs, like excitement, like, you know, that was the thing, anything that they want to share that's like personal for them, for what they're going through right now, then they also can do that. And not many people will share that too. It's just, it's kind of like they respect the silence and about holding the space. They talk about holding each other. And that's something I do as a chaplain, is I have to like, particularly when I've been a little in window into my kind of day, when I have people die at the hospitals, but particularly children, when they die and I'm with the families and I'm often with staff members who worked with the children all at the same time. And I'm the one who has to hold them, is how I think of it, is I go in the room and I'm the chaplain, and it's my job to just hold them as well as myself, especially if I am also affected by what happens in the room, or if I'm affected by the loss of the person's life, that type of stuff. So when they were using that type of language within I stayed for the community meeting that they had today, have one a month. I stayed to kind of hear a little bit more about what they're about, and they talk about holding, and I was like, oh. So I loved it. I thought it was great. That's and cool. And it'll be nice to go back. I have struggled with church because of my own issues, I really enjoyed that it was just a space to reflect and share and build community. And we had lunch together too. It was adorable that they had like some soups, and like people had brought like desserts and that type of stuff, and I was able to talk to people after that, so it was nice. I loved also at the end of the silence and or the end of the worship, that they worship in silence except for when people are moved to speak, everyone says good morning to each other. Like, I just love it, like that comes afterwards, like you come in into the hall or the little room and everyone's silent, and we just are silent for an hour, and then we like shake hands and say good morning.
Yeah, that's loved nice. It.
Yeah,
and again, like acclimate,
just like be. Yeah, you don't have to like be turned on and everything, and it was really great. And again, this was like, I mean, this is like in East, or what am I in? Not East LA, West LA, you know, so that may be different from like based on like where you are. Basically, I don't know. I think that my roommate will come with me when he wants to, and I'll have to see what it's like compared to what he's experienced in like Pennsylvania. We've got all the Quakers and the Shakers and the if there even are any Shakers still, because that's the thing, is celibacy is like a thing within the Shakers, so like how do they keep going? I mean, you have to just like have people convert, but you know, they kind of die out eventually. And then you've got they have the Pennsylvania Dutch, they have the Amish, like, you know, he have all kinds of stuff where he is. So it'd be interesting for him to give his feedback. Yeah. Cool. So that was great. Thanks for listening, everyone. Mm-hmm. It may be kind of boring for people who are just like, oh, who cares about Aaron's career path? But hey, it took me to like
New
York.
I'm glad I got to hear about it.
Thank you. I would have told you anyway. But you know, like, it's like my career path is interesting because it got me to go to New York. It got me to move to LA. As I get another job, it'll have me move again, I'm sure. Although I do like being in LA for a moment, so we'll see. Would you like for me to read the episode bits?
Yes.
Almost kind of. I paused. Oh, no, don't you start it.
Sorry.
Oh, that was one thing.
It's dark out.
Now, that's weird. I expected everyone to, like, yawn and cough and stuff. And there's just, like, one guy who went, like, like, he had one of those kind of yawns, you know? Mm-hmm. But everyone else is, like, pretty quiet. Like, I expected everyone to have, like, yawns become contagious the way you and I do back and forth with this. You know, they were like, oh, no.
Oh, no, it's starting.
I just paused because I was thinking, like, maybe one thing we should start doing in the show notes is tell people when the actual show episode starts to be discussed.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what is the time? Because maybe they want to just jump to that. Maybe that's something that would help. Although some people I know also enjoy listening to us because they're absolute weirdos and we love you for it. But this week we watched season 5, episode 13, lucky number 13. Entitled Pearls of Wisdom. And I love for this episode, I read that and I just ignored it. And then at the end, I was like, oh, it was so stupid.
Yeah, this episode is all over the place.
I know. I kind of liked it though. It first aired January 7th, 1991. We are officially in 1991.
Yep.
You stop it over there. I know. We got to rush through it.
That was a stretch.
Oh, was it? Oh, thank goodness. Okay. You're going to fall asleep on me.
I'm going to try not to.
I mean, although both the animals are sleeping on my bed right now, so it's like
been dark for an hour and a half.
No, shut up. That's too much. It's absolutely too much. A recurring dream about Julia upsets Anthony. Mary Jo dreads an encounter with Suzanne over a strand of pearls. That's it. Oh, and Harley. Who's Harley?
Who? Is that the waiter?
I kind of wonder, but we never... It has to be, because absolutely nobody else
shows up. Yeah.
So it must be him. He's played by Elliot Harold. That's so funny. Maybe it's had Harley, like, on his... Maybe he had, like, a name tag or something like that. I don't know these things. Do you want to talk about this episode?
Yeah, let's do it. So we have an A story, a B story, and a C story, but none of them are really...
related.
Priority. Mm-hmm. They're three storylines.
Yeah.
Just kind of happening. Mm-hmm. So we started Sugar Bakers as per usual. Mm-hmm. Julia has a car phone, which let's
this
take
episode,
a moment.
The technology, the car phone, because, the tiny TV, like what is happening?
It's amazing. She is calling Charlene on her car phone. My great aunt had a car phone. Yeah. And like Suzanne has tried out to be like a lifestyle reporter for Channel 6, and they, like, she tried out, so they're going to put her report on the 11 o'clock news. And they're like, Charlene wants to watch it all together at Sugar Bakers. 11 p.m.? That's like 2 hours after bedtime. Y'all are in your 30s.
But that's the thing.
One of y'all has a baby. Like, how are you going to stay working until 11 p.m.?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even think about the fact that they're at work, because everything just happens there, so I didn't even right. consider that. Ugh, gross.
So Mary Jo says, well, knowing Suzanne, it won't last too long. And Charlene's like, no, it'll be good for her to have a job. And Mary Jo's like,
cracks me up.
She has a job. And Charlene's like, oh, really?
So
where?
Funny. So funny.
Here.
Yeah.
And then Charlene's like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because no one ever thinks of her as working there because she doesn't work.
Because she doesn't. That's why.
And Mary Jo is like, where does she get off calling herself a reporter? She didn't go to journalism school. She doesn't know anything about broadcasting. She asked me what time the 6 o'clock news comes on one time.
See, that's why I like this episode, because the jokes are pretty good.
The jokes are on point. Like, Mary Jo is sarcastic and Ellen, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlene points out that a lot of former beauty queens end up becoming reporters. And Mary Jo's like, yeah, all you have to do is go down that runway with your high heels and Vaseline on your teeth and your bathing suit glued to your butt. And hey, you're qualified to interview Gorbachev.
Oh, my. Well, it's because people want to look at you. That's why.
Exactly. Yeah. Visually appealing. Anthony comes in.
Anthony
asks if Julia is there. And they're like, no. And he's like, okay. He comes in and Charlene tells him that like there's a drapery rod in Julia's bedroom that fell down and she wants Anthony to put it back up when he has time. He has been avoiding Julia all week. Has not been himself. He says that he's been having a recurring disturbing dream about Julia. Of course, they make him share it. And he says, well, like in the first dream, Julia beckons to him across the room, but he's too afraid to go after her. Then the next night, she beckons again and he goes and she says, Anthony, don't you think you'd be more comfortable if you loosened your collar? And their faces are hilarious. Like, I have a screenshot, like a still shot of one point during this whole thing of their faces. Mm-hmm. And then the third night, he lets her loosen his collar and she says, oh, sweet mystery of life, at last I've found you. He's like, so now, sipping a cup of coffee, I'm never going to sleep again. And Charlene says she may be able to help. She has a book on dream analysis. And she points out that they're like, oh, you know, is that from your psychology class? And she says, no, it's from the itty bitty books at the supermarket checkout.
That cracked me up. I was like, oh, no. She's sitting there reading the National Enquirer and then she's got a tiny little dream book.
Yeah.
Was it now when I was also slightly sorry to interrupt, but wasn't it was it Jung or was it Freud did dream interpretation, didn't he?
I don't remember.
Oh, cuz I get them was, confused a lot. Like they were very like sexual.
Yes.
His interpretations and a lot of penis envy was in them.
Yes.
And like
I think
penis
that was
envy
Freud.
And like Oedipal complexy stuff.
Yeah.
So that's one thing I was taking into her reading from her tiny book of dream
from her tiny book.
Yeah.
And she asks for details of his dream, even though he literally just told her what happens in the dream. She's like, okay, tell me stuff about it. And I'm like, but he just told you the dream.
Yep.
But she asks him where it took place and he says he doesn't know, but there was a long hallway and he was standing at one end of it and Julia was sitting at the other end, bathed in radiant white light. And behind her hung a poster of Gary Coleman.
That is so random, and I loved it.
So great. Mary Jo's like, wow, this is getting scary. And Charlene said, oh, and also Julia's sitting on a beanbag chair. And she's like, oh, well, that's similar to pillow. So she looks up pillow. Mm-hmm. And
I was laughing out loud at this part, whole
so
part.
Funny.
It was killing me.
Symbol for the female breast.
Loved it.
And the radiant light means pure love. And like Anthony is freaking out. And she's like, you know, I don't know where Gary Coleman fits into this, but all in all, this is Mary Jo. I think you really just have a thing for Julia.
Mm-hmm.
No, sorry. That was Charlie. Mary Jo says, maybe you're just having a repressed desire to watch reruns of Different Strokes.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man.
And now I have the Different Strokes.
Was that show not on in 1991? I guess not, because
like
they said reruns, huh?
80s?
Okay. You
know. Hang on, I'm going to find out. Oh, no. I can't spell different. I can't. No. Well, I can't spell it the way they spell it.
Oh, yeah, because it's like different.
It's got a thing.
Yeah.
It's like
different.
1986, I think, was the last season.
Oh.
1978 to May 4th, 1985.
So still like relevant
and
for
then
this
it was on
like,
ABC,
time period, but yeah.
Yeah. Until 1986. Oh, but okay. It's funny because Dixie was in that show.
No. What?
Yeah. She married Drummond, the dad.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know that at all.
I don't
all.
Know how long she was in it.
That is hilarious.
It was like later season.
Wait, did you know that? Like as soon as they said it?
No, I just thought of it like right now.
Oh my God, you're so smart. Okay.
I wasn't thinking about it earlier.
Oh,
but yeah.
I love it. Okay.
Okay.
Sorry.
So, no, you're good. See, we're sharing things about the show. And
yeah, trivia.
And trivia.
Yeah.
And Julia and Suzanne come in, and Anthony's like, hi, Julia, gotta go. Ha, ha, ha. And laughs
so
really weirdly. And
funny. I freaking loved it. It made me think of my flirt chaplain at work.
Oh, that's funny.
The way that we act sometimes.
Like awkward laugh like, and then
so dumb. Like what's going on? Yeah.
And Mary Jo's like, you're probably wondering what that was all about. And Suzanne says, no, I never wonder about all the stuff you people do. My life is full enough, especially now that my new career is taking off.
God.
Did I tell y'all how much they're paying me? And everybody's like, yes. And Julia is like, Suzanne, will you please stop bragging about how much money you're making? It's not very nice. There's a recession going on. Mm-hmm. Things are hard and people don't seem to have much money these days. And Suzanne just says, I do. And Julia's like, sorry, I meant to say times are hard and no one seems to have any money except for alimony sucking, Mercedes driving, fur wearing rich women.
You know what she was going to say. I love that pause.
We all know what she was going to say.
I loved it.
And Suzanne's like, well, I'm just tired of people complaining that nobody has any money. I have money and that's all that matters.
Wow.
Classic Suzanne. Mm-hmm. In fact, she bought a string of pearls to celebrate her new job. They cost $4,500. And I love Mary Jo's reaction because so all she had to put in there was American. And that's
yes,
$4,500 American dollars.
That's what I thought too. She was like, she starts- very you at this moment.
Yeah, she's like laughing like a maniac and just repeats $4,500 several times. And she like snatches them up and looks at them and compares them to her fake pearls that are $30. And Suzanne's like, you people are completely insane. Like, there's an enormous difference between the costume jewelry and the real jewelry. And so she like rubs the pearls on her teeth and the real ones are like rough. Because they're natural.
Yeah.
And Charlene says, it hardly seems worth $4,500 just so they can feel rough between your teeth. It's not like you can go to some fancy party and people are going to come up and start chewing on your necklace.
I mean, they may.
And Suzanne just retorts, I hope not. That'd be awkward. So they just like start putting their necklace in your mouth. That would not be a nice way to meet somebody. Suzanne's like, well, quality people know quality jewelry. And then she's gone. And Mary Jo is positively giddy and she reveals that she switched the necklaces.
Oh God. Of course she did. I knew something like that was going to happen.
Yeah. And they're like getting on her and she's like, no, like I'm worried about how I'm going to pay Claudia's tuition next year. And she comes in here with a $4,500 necklace. She can't even identify. It just made me mad. She's like, I'll give it back.
Yeah.
You know, I'll give it back to her tonight. And Mary Jo and Charlene are getting ready to leave because Mary Jo is being honored as Parent Volunteer of the Year. And they say, like, she first says they're taking her out to a cheap steak dinner. But when they get there, it's just an all-you-can-eat salad bar.
And it's a very small salad bar.
It's not big at all.
Like, what's going on?
So they leave. Anthony comes out of the stock room, like, immediately tries to go back in, but Julia calls him out. And she's like, you know, did Charlene tell you I needed you in my bedroom? And he's like, yeah. And so he starts to go up, and she says she'll be up there to check on him in a minute. And then she starts singing Oh Sweet Mystery of Life.
Why? She probably sings that all the time or something. That's why it was in
I guess.
Dream.
She sings it all throughout this episode. And then we cut to the salad bar after dinner. And Charlene's like, you know, they could have at least picked a better place to eat. And Mary Jo's like, if you went to any decent restaurant anywhere and they said your dinner is canned beets, chickpeas, and enough iceberg lettuce to fill your trunk, you might object. But if you put it all under a sneeze guard, then yum. Which they get into a whole conversation about sneeze guard and they bring up some good points.
They do.
She's like, Charlene says, have you ever seen anyone sneeze on a sneeze guard? Like, no, but I think it would make me feel better about it if it happened.
Yeah.
And then she starts to tell a Poplar Bluff story about how they had one all-you-can-eat place, but it didn't last very long because there used to only be one restaurant in Poplar Bluff, Bob's Quick Bites. But then another restaurant opened and they offered all-you-can-eat so they could compete. So it's all-you-can-eat catfish and fries. And so Bob went like every day. Stayed all day and ate catfish and fries, and pretty soon the new restaurant had to go out of business. And Mary Jo said, oh, so you just went back to one restaurant? She's like, no, we went back to having none because after that, Bob had a heart attack?
Because, oh, no. Yeah.
So much fried food.
Yeah.
And Mary Jo talks about, like, how good she thinks she did tonight. Like, she's usually very timid speaking in front of a group. But maybe Suzanne is right. Like, maybe those pearls can make a difference. Somehow knowing that she had an expensive piece of jewelry gave her confidence. Mm-hmm. And then she, like, grabs at her chest to, like, grab them, but they're not there. And she starts freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlene's like, keep calm. You know, where did you last have them? And she's like, around my neck. And then
yeah.
She starts, like, retracing her steps from the evening. And she comes to the conclusion that they have to be, like, in the salad bar somewhere.
Yeah, I love
this. This seems implausible to me. Like, plausible? Have you it ever does? Had on a ne- no implausible? Like, oh, have implausible. You ever had on a necklace and like had it fall off in something like that? You not like, I mean, if you're like dancing around or doing something, but like, unless the chain broke, I feel like it. Like, she didn't just like bend over and they like fell off of her neck.
Yeah, and she's got all that know. Hair. It'd stop it anyway.
I feel like I don't know.
I surprisingly lost one of my favorite rings last year. That it like fell off my finger, I think, when I was driving or something like that. Or like it was like either to the car or to the house or something. I could just never find it again. And I was like, what? How did I not notice that not being on my finger? You know? So yeah. I've done that. And I've also had things kind of if it gets pulled. For it just to fall off.
Yeah, like if she's she leans over to get salad and it like falls off of her neck. I don't.
Well, but we learned something about the necklace later that could maybe indicate that's that true. It was
maybe
there's a reason. So okay, I'll talk about that when we get to it. Spoilers,
we'll keep going.
Yeah,
they start rifling through the salad.
Oh my god. And
the waiter comes out
losing my mind this time because they're like, who does this? She could have got some tongs and just like, you know, she went with both arms
just
into dove into the salad.
And to try to cover up, they're like, oh, it's all you can eat, right? And he's like, yeah. And so they grab a plate and they're like, I'm so hungry. And they start putting stuff on the plate.
Crazy.
But still rifling through a salad. Charlene puts her whole hand into a container of dressing.
Whole hand into a container, like arm. Her forearm is into
she's in it.
The pitcher of dressing.
And she's like, is this French or Thousand Island? And he says, Thousand Island. And she pulls her hand out. It's like, I don't care for that. And puts it back. This is ridiculous. And he's just like, what? Probably doesn't get paid enough to care. So he leaves.
Yeah.
They keep just pilfering through all the salad. So much lettuce. It's just lettuce and like two tomatoes and a pitcher of dressing. That's it.
Oh, my God.
And then we go back to Sugar Baker's. Anthony has stayed late to help Julia, and she's noticed he's been acting weird. And she asks if he is angry with her at something, and she points out that he's been avoiding her. And he says, oh, you know, I just haven't been getting much sleep. And she like, you know, grabs his arm like, you know, are you okay? Like in a concerned manner. And he like jumps and startles very easily.
Yeah.
And she's like, here, just lay down on the couch. Like, I'll wake you up before anybody gets here. Just take a little nap. And he's like, well, I won't sleep. I'll just close my eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he starts having the dream. And then we see his dream. Julia, like, sits down on him. And is like, we're both adults. You don't need to pretend anymore. And he's like, what are you saying? And she says, you're a delivery man. It's time to deliver.
I lost my damn mind. I know I'm saying that this whole episode. It's but that was so where funny. I could not handle it anymore.
It's amazing.
You're a delivery man. I knew exactly where it was going to go.
And then, like, it's like we cut back. She's like trying to wake him up because he's screaming and he's been having a fit. And she's like, you need to go to the doctor. You know, you're not doing well. And she asks him about the dreams and he says he can't tell her. And she says, you know, she'll understand. Like, you know, we've worked together a long time. I'll understand. And he's like, you were trying to seduce me. And she's like, nope. Oh, my goodness. He gets up, walks away. She's like, nope. And he's like, I knew I shouldn't have told you. Now I'm going to have to sell my partnership in Sugar Baker's and leave the country. And puts his head in his hands. And Julia's like, first off, you know, they're only dreams. And secondly, like, I might know why you might be having them. You just got this big promotion. Now you're a partner and not my employee. And so maybe your dreaming mind just got confused at being like my partner and like not my partner.
I find this so smart.
Yes.
And like it just insightful of her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
And Anthony's like, oh, that makes sense. You know, I'm so relieved. And Julia's like, you know, I don't think you'll be having that dream anymore. And he's like, thank the Lord. No offense. And then he says, one more thing, Julia. You know that song that you sing? Like, and then he tells her, she's like, yeah, he says, don't ever sing that again. And then we cut back to the salad bar. They have not found the necklace.
Oh, it's a mess. And I took a picture because I had paused when my roommate came in to talk to him. And it's like Mary Jo has just a leaf of lettuce on her forehead.
Yeah, they have been at war with this lettuce. Like, they're covered in lettuce. Mm-hmm. They're desolate. Maybe somebody found it. Maybe they got thrown out. Like, and then Charlene's like, we should just tell Suzanne the truth. Like, maybe she won't be upset. And, like, maybe she won't make you pay her back. And I'll just have a big laugh about it.
No.
Mary Jo glares at her. And she's like, or maybe she'll call the police and have you thrown in jail for stealing. Come on, we got to keep looking.
Yeah.
And she, Mary Jo's freaking out. She's like, you know, this means Claudia can't go to college. I'm gonna have to get a third mortgage on the house and sell a kidney.
A third mortgage? That's not even a thing.
That's so many things. You know, she's gonna make me pay her back.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlene asks, like, the waiter to bring back the mostly empty bins because those were the only things that he switched out.
Yeah.
And she's like, we might have to eat out of those too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because all you can eat.
All you can eat. And then Mary Jo breaks down and tells him what happened.
He's so nice to them.
He is nice. And he's like, no, I found a retainer once, if that does anything for you. Charlene's like, yes. Yeah. It makes me never want to eat here again.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so gross. And Mary Jo, Charlene's like, yeah, the woman who owns these doesn't know that they're missing. And Mary Jo gets this glint in her eye. And she's like, and she never will if we don't tell her. And then she tries to convince Charlene to not tell her. And she's like, we won't lie. Not technically. Like, we just won't ever say a thing. And then we cut to Sugar Bakers, and it's Suzanne's broadcast on that tiny TV you were talking about at the beginning of the episode.
So strange. I mean, like, what is that TV?
I don't know. My grandma had one in her kitchen.
Yeah?
Yep. It was so tiny.
So strange.
And you can hear Suzanne on it, and she says, there may be 50 ways to leave your lover, but there's only one way to describe Fred Fisher. He's crazy. And, like, his... something about clothes hounds, or his hounds are clothes hounds because he dresses up his dogs. These doggies dig formal wear, and so she talks about this guy who dresses up a dog. So.
And his dogs have little feet, little shoes on.
Yes.
Right? And like,
and
yeah, whatever else. I don't know. Charlene's loving it.
She is all about it.
That's what I'm, no.
And they cut it off, and Julia's like, I must say, that is perhaps the greatest parody of journalism I've ever seen. And Suzanne, pleased with herself, is like, thank you.
Yeah.
And she is certain they're going to ask her to do it again, that she's going to be a regular correspondent and work her way up to anchor and then be one of those morning shows like Deborah Norville. Deborah Norville is my new role model. And Charlene's like, oh, you mean how she worked really hard and slowly made her way up the ladder? And Suzanne's like, no, how she kissed up to Jane Polly and then blew her butt out on the sidewalk. Mm. If she can do that to Jane, I can do that to her.
Wow.
She says, I'm going to lie, cheat, and scheme my way to being the most trusted woman in America.
That is such a great line. Like, what?
This is the best line. And then Anthony's like, great, tonight I'll have a whole new nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And she's bummed out that she didn't have her new necklace. For the taping, but points out that it'll look really great on camera. And then Charlene urges Mary Jo to tell her what happened. And Mary Jo says, Suzanne, you know, will you answer a real hypothetical question? And Suzanne's like, I doubt it. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Same. And Mary Jo says, you know, what if those pearls weren't real? What if somebody played a trick on you and took something of yours that was valuable and then accidentally destroyed them? What would you do? Suzanne says, call the police and make them pay. Why do you ask? Mary Jo's like, no reason.
Then
she breaks down, tells her what happened. And Suzanne's like, you're just trying to make a fool out of me. And she's like, no. And then she rubs her teeth on them. And she's like, what'd you do with my pearls? And Mary Jo hands over a check for $4,500 and asks her not to cash it for a few years until Mary Jo has sold her house and moved to the trailer park.
Yeah.
And then Julia says, Suzanne, isn't there something you want to tell her?
Yeah.
And Suzanne says, what about the tax?
I was like, oh, wait a minute. I guess Julia knows something when she said that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Julia's like, Suzanne, you better tell her now.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out Suzanne's pearls were not real either.
Hilarious.
She got them at Fabulous Fakes. And she thought that if she could fool the ladies at Sugar Bakers, she could fool everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Life hasn't been the same since Reggie Mack stole all her money. She hasn't bought jewelry or furs in months. And she had to wear the same ball gown to two parties lately and can only afford to get her legs waxed up to the knees.
Which makes me think of Rose talking about.
Yes, same.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I
whenever somebody talks about.
I shaved my leg packs past the knee when I was wearing my my Mama Cass Halloween outfit, and that's, uh-huh. I heard her again talk about it.
Yeah, what you were mean you shave above the knee? Mm-hmm. No, I, like every time somebody talks about shaving in the knee, like I always think of Rose.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You kind of trained me to do that because you brought it up like once, and I was like, oh, and now I do it too.
And Mary Jo, like. She's like, oh, I had no idea. This poor girl, she's been through hell. Like, I guess it's just rough and tough all around these days. And Susan's like, if it makes you feel better to mock my poverty, go ahead.
My poverty. And then
she asks Mary Jo if she can keep a check. And Mary Jo's mm-hmm. like, no. And no. then she grabs it and tears it up. And hilarious. Then there's credits.
And then they had a different theme at the end, which I assume is the song that Julia sings all the time.
Oh, I didn't watch that far. I didn't
know. Oh, yeah, there was a different song and I was like, huh? And I know that actually, I guess for the ending, they often have different songs I sing, I think.
Yeah, so. Sometimes I think.
Yeah, so I assumed it was that's the song that Julia sings. I don't know it well enough to recognize.
Same, I've never heard it.
Yeah. Yes. Did you have a favorite outfit?
I did. Did you?
I did. Do you want me to talk about mine first in case it's the same? Sure. Do you have multiple?
In case it's the same one? No.
Or in case it's the same one?
They didn't change outfits.
They really didn't. Yeah. Was it perhaps Julia's?
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
Hey.
Hey. So let me, why did I not pull up my picture while I was deciding to talk about it? I don't know. So I like Julia's particularly, like I didn't really notice it until, and I had a feeling when they just weren't really doing much in this episode, I was like, oh, they're not going to change outfits, aren't they? I better pick one.
Gotta pick one now.
Although I know that that's okay, that I don't have to have one. But then when Julia put on her giant glasses, I suddenly really appreciated her outfit. So she has on a plenty of shoulder pads are going on
so
in this
many
outfit.
Pads.
She's wearing a suit with the skirt that it's kind of like, I don't know if I'd say coral. It's like one of those almost orangey pinky reds. And her silk shirt that's under it has kind of almost a cravat going on with a bow and or cravat. I don't know how you say it if you're not pretentious or something. And she has like a little brooch that's like pin that's on there. But I love the whole bow giant glasses action. She's wearing her like huge like red glasses that are about half the size of her face. I just loved it so much, and I took a picture of her same as that Anthony, because I also kind of liked his coat, because I thought about, I have a really sense memory for like wool coats, like just rubbing my mm-hmm. cheek up like, up against them and like hugging people with wool coats, and so that's kind of what his jacket looked like. It was woolish maybe, which just seems weird because it was like a suit jacket, but it looked
right.
like it wasn't just regular old flat suit material. I don't know what suits are made out of, even though I wear dress pants.
I don't know.
Yes, what was your outfit?
Mine was Mary Jo's, the mm-hmm. black and white, mm-hmm. Like the pants or skirt are black. It's black and it's black, and then she has on this coat. She has like a white shell of a shirt with the pearls and like big ass earrings that she always has to take off to answer the phone.
Love it.
But her coat is like both black and white. So the sleeves are black, but then the like material around the sleeves is white, but then the pocket liners are black mm-hmm. and it's trimmed in black. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, yeah. I don't know. It's very 90s. I don't like it.
It's very 90s. Oh, speaking of also like with her, with Mary Jo, that, losing the necklace, when we find out that it was a fake necklace, maybe it wasn't well made, is one thing I was thinking. When you're talking about, like, you never
yes.
lose a necklace, I was like, maybe it...
Right, but maybe
the clasp
it was
did
cheap
break
and...
because it was cheap. Yeah. Yeah. Don't buy pearls anyway, for God's sakes. Let the clam keep them.
Let the clam keep them.
Because they don't even, like, eat the clams that pearls come out of. They just, like, waste their lives. I'm like, come on. Stupid. People love pearls.
Silly.
I'm like, yeah, just get fake ones. Who cares?
That's whatever.
Yeah, that was one thing that like once was a gift they given to me. It was like a real pearl, and I was like, "Have you met me?" Like, no.
Have we met?
I enjoy. I mean, I just went along with it because I was like, "Yeah, it's gorgeous." I was like, well, "I don't know if I was in Hawaii or Florida or something like that," but And I was like, oh yeah, like people like this. And eventually I was like, no. Yeah. So, yeah. I guess that's our episode, huh?
That's our episode. Leslie, thanks for listening.
Where can people find us? Sorry, I didn't
all over the internet.
Yeah.
We are The Girls Who Came to Sugar Bakers on iTunes and our official Podbean site. We are Sugar Baker Girls pretty much everywhere else, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, YouTube, Pinterest. If you like us, please take a moment to rate and review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and boost us up so other people can see us.
Boost us. Thanks for listening, everyone. We will talk to you next time, I guess.
Talk to you next time.
I feel like we've totally lost we'll each do that other thing again. At the end of this episode. We're just in shambles. I'm sorry.
Oh, nope. It's good.
Okay. We'll just say all bye. Right. How about that?
Yep. Okay.
Bye.
Bye. That's right. You can sleep for like 14 hours after you take a Benadryl.
I know.
That's what happens to me.
After I take a quarter of a Benadryl.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll like gamble and take one at like 8 p.m. and I'm like, well, see if we'll get up for work in the morning.
Oh my God.